Well, we wrap up superheroes today, but before we wrap up superheroes, I want to give you a heads up of what's coming. Next week, now please don't be scared, we start our stewardship campaign, but I'm letting you know ahead of time because the one thing is, tends to be that people don't want to hear the money talk, so they might skip out on church during stewardship campaign, but I'm letting you know, please don't skip in October. It is a special Sunday every Sunday in October. Next Sunday is World Communion Sunday, where we celebrate communion as a body of Christ all around the world, and we've got some special things planned. The next Sunday, October 9th, is our Children's Sabbath, where our children will be putting on the service and sharing of their gifts and talents, and I'm so excited for that. They are so cute and do such an amazing job. The next week, the 16th, is our Laity Sunday, where the laity of the church run the service and speak. We got some special stuff planned for that service. That's also where we're taking in our new members, and so a great day of celebration. The 23rd is going to be the consecration of our pledges and that celebration that comes with it. And then finally, the last Sunday, the 30th, is number one. It is All Saints Sunday, where we recognize the saints that have gone before us in our church and those who've passed in this last year. But since it's a fifth Sunday, it's also a family service, so the kids will be staying in that service and learning about all saints and who the saints in our church are. And so October is going to be an exciting place to be the church. Yesterday was an exciting places. I forgot to announce 118 people served at outreach lunch yesterday. The house was packed. They were even eating on the patio, and that is a huge thank you to everybody that made food, set up, served, cleaned up, helped with everything to make that possible. And so thank you all for that ministry. But with that, let's pray and get into God's word. Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. And so here we go to the wrap-up of superheroes. And last Sunday, I'll admit, I preached and then I went home and I re-watched Captain America's Civil War movie and was just kind of enlivened again of why I'm doing superheroes, seeing the gifts of all of them and what they have in them and the power and going, you know, this is why I'm preaching this. This is why I'm preaching this as we see this great power that God has given us, the way that God has blessed us in who we are and what God is able to do through us, and just kind of a reminder through that movie and the just lineup of superheroes that they have within it. And so it reminded me as we look at our first point of this morning, the power in each of us, to be reminded that we each have been granted gifts that makes us unique and makes us special, but that power is limited when we are on our own. Because you see, as I was watching Civil War, and the title might give it away that there's some conflicts and interpersonal conflicts going on in this movie. And I was thinking, you know, last week I was preaching Kryptonite, and there's that weakness that each one of us had. And as I'm watching Civil War, I'm reminded that so often these superheroes have these superpowers, these incredible gifts that they have, strength and speed and the ability to shoot webs and, I mean, the tool belts that they have. I mean, there's all of these things that make these superheroes incredible, but it seems so often that what their kryptonite is their ego. Their ability to believe that they can do it on their own, that they don't need anybody else, and at some point, they either fall because of it, or they have to come to the humility of realizing that they need to unite with somebody else if they're going to accomplish the mission and the goal that they have. And so this morning, I wrap us up, as you might have caught through Sue's scriptures that she read, that tomorrow, this morning is about how we unite as the body of Christ. It's only said a few times over in the Gospels. It's only said a few times over in Paul. And so let's get into it to realize what this power comes from, more than just strength in toothpicks and in our lives. So as we look at our power together, we realize that our power source is the Holy Spirit. 2 weeks ago, we looked at that. 2 weeks ago, we looked at what the Holy Spirit does in us, that it encompasses us with gifts and gives us strength and gives us this power to do God's will here on earth. But that Holy Spirit not only powers us, but it also draws us together. We celebrate communion next Sunday, And one of the things that we'll celebrate is the reminder that we are bound as one body of Christ in that meal. And how are we bound together? But we are bound together by the power of the Holy Spirit. That God says, this is what's going to empower each one of you, but this is what's also going to join you together. We saw that at Pentecost. Because what happened at Pentecost, but these gifts came upon all of the disciples, these gifts that allowed them to go out and preach and teach and heal and do miracles and do so many of the things that Jesus did because they had Jesus's power source in them. But what also happened at Pentecost was the body of Christ, the church, was pulled together as one body on that day. The church was strengthened by all the individuals in it, and they became this force to be reckoned with in this world that began on Pentecost and spread throughout the whole world like wildfire. And that, my friends, is what we are part of. So we look at Jesus. And we look at Jesus as we're thinking about this. And the place I had to go, I wanted all those scriptures read, but I promise I've got a story in here. I've got more than just a single verse. As we look at Jesus before he's leaving this earth, we come to the beauty of the Garden of Gethsemane. And I love this scene in the scripture. I love this scene in the movies that depict Jesus's life. Because here's Jesus at one of his most emotional states. Jesus knows his time is up. Jesus knows his chapter is closing on this earth. And so here he comes to bear it all to God. Here he comes on his knees, crying and weeping and just putting everything out there. He's putting everything out there. And first he's begging God, you know, if it's possible, take this cup from me. If it's possible, don't make me have to go through this. Don't make me bear that cross. Don't make me have to die. There's got to be another way. But when he comes to terms with what he has to do, then he gets on his knees and he begins to pray. He prays for his disciples. He prays for his disciples, the weak ones that are sitting over there who can't even stay awake while he's praying, sleeping on the job, and yet he's praying for God to empower them. He's praying for God to give them everything that they need to be able to pick up the ministry and do the job that he's leaving behind. And so here he's praying over them and he's pouring out his heart to God about what the disciples need and asking God to be with them. But then in John chapter 17, verse 20, after he's been praying for the disciples, then he says, my prayer is not only for them alone, not just for the disciples. And then he turns his heart to all of us. He says, I also pray for those who will believe in me through their message. For all those that hear the good news and believe because of it, I pray for them as well. And what does he pray? Of all the things he could pray for us, of all the things he could be praying in his final hour, what does he pray? But he says that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me. That's the Holy Spirit right there. And that they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Do I need to say it again? So that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. What of all the things does Jesus pray for us? But he prays that we would be one, that we would be a unified body in his name for the world to witness. So what does he say? Jesus prays for us to be united because he did not want us to be alone. If we go to the Gospel of Matthew, the 18th chapter, verse 19, here again, he's on this same track. He says, again, truly I tell you that if two of you on this earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Well, I got led to the Greek root of this word agree. Does Jesus really think that for us to be the body of Christ, that we all have to agree on absolutely everything? Because that seems a little unrealistic because he gave us all these unique minds and opinions. Do we have to fully agree to be one, to be unified, to have Christ with us. And so here I went to the Greek, and I found the word agree can also be translated in harmony with one another. I thought, now what does that mean, to be in harmony with one another? And I'd like you to go on a field trip with me, okay? Let's go on a field trip, and you can choose your place. You can be in a performing arts center. You can be in the Disney concert hall. You can be in the Hollywood Bowl, depending on your taste preference. But let's all go there for a minute, and we're sitting in the seats, and we're waiting for things to begin. And the orchestra's down there, and they're getting ready for the symphony, right? And what happens but that one lone violin's going to begin warming up, right? That one violinist with this master-built violin. Because if they're playing in Disney Concert Hall, if they're playing at the Hollywood Bowl, I'm going to assume it's a pretty nice violin that they're playing. So here you've got this beautiful master-crafted instrument just dying to sing. And then you have this master craftsman that has probably spent their life studying the violin, getting to the place that they are. And they take that bow and they touch it to the strings and they begin to play. I got the goosebumps just thinking about it. That beautiful sound of the combination of that instrument and the master playing it. And this beautiful sound comes out. This lone voice singing to fill the place. But then what quickly happens? Everybody else starts warming up too, right? The cellos start and the basses start and the violas start. And all of a sudden you've got all these sounds, but they're warming up. Are they in harmony? Absolutely not. Everybody's playing their own warm-up. Everybody's on their own notes. And it's just kind of the sound of chaos, isn't it? The sound of chaos of everybody marching to their own beat. Some people can appreciate this moment. Some people, it's just too much for the ears that everything's out of sync. But what happens? The conductor comes up, right? The conductor comes up, and in my mind, they tap their baton on their music stand, and they lift it up, and what happens? But everybody comes in harmony, right? When the conductor leads them, everybody's on the same page. Everybody's playing the same notes. Everybody's in the same tune. And now it's not this lone violin trying to fill the whole space with its song, but now you've got this orchestra that's been made to play with one another, hand-picked with each of their sounds and talents to play the piece that's just beauty to the ears, right? And it only comes when all those instruments are on the same page. So what does Jesus say? He says we need to be in harmony with one another. We need to be on the same page. It's not about agreeing. The violin is not playing the exact same thing as the cello. They're different sounds. But what are they doing? They've got the same goal of the same piece. And when their sounds combine together, they're greater together. So what is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying we need to take each of our gifts. We need to take each of our talents. We need to take the power of the Holy Spirit that each of us has and work to be on the same page through the same mission and the same goal. And Jesus says, and when that happens, I will be right with you to help you. So what is it that we need as Christians? To figure out what our mission and our goal is. To figure out how it is that we're playing a beautiful sound for God, and how we witness to our faith, how we serve and love people, how we be the church, how it is that we love and support and sympathize with one another, because that's the unity that's called for. Here we have it with those superheroes. All these gifts and talents, all these powers that they have, all of these strengths. And here time after time we see it. When humility needs to overcome them. It happens in the first Avengers movie, if you've seen it. The world's coming to an end, a force is coming, and they're all trying their own thing. They're all trying to do just their thing because they believe they can be the one to stop it, but they are failing miserably. This group of men and women, they are failing miserably. And the city's going to be destroyed because of it. And eventually, what do they have to realize? But they have to realize that they have to be a team and they have to choose a leader. So they look to Captain America and they call him to be the leader. And he looks at the gifts that they have and they say, you get to do that. You take care of that. You be here. You be there. And guess what? They saved the world. Of course they saved the world. But they only saved the world because they came together under the leadership of one. And that leadership for us is Jesus Christ, our Savior, spoken to us through the Holy Spirit that unites us. So what do we have? If we are in harmony with one another, we will be unstoppable as a force for good in this world. We will be unstoppable. So how is it that we find the humility? How is it that we find where my gift helps another's gift increase? How is it that we find that we are on the same page, that we do have the same goal, that we ultimately desire the same thing in this world, for it to be a better place? Absolutely possible. And it comes when we become one. And when we are one, Christ is with us. Will you pray with me? God of all ages, you've seen it over and over again. You've seen the superhero in us and all that we are able to do. You've seen us stand on our pedestals and you've seen us fall off of them. You've seen us too stubborn to ask for help. You've seen us struggling by ourselves. And all along, you've just been praying. All along, you've just been praying that we would find unity with one another, as you've found unity with your Son, Jesus Christ. We know that you have called us here to be one body, that you have called us here to be one church, that you have brought amazing gifts and talents to this place, and you've been able to dream of the possibilities of what happens when we are united. So we pray that your Holy Spirit will come upon each one of us, that it will be the thread that joins us together in harmony with one another, so that we are not lone tunes that we are being played, but that we are able to be one magnificent symphony of love in your name for all this world to hear. For this is our prayer, in your name, in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, that you are united with. Amen.